Thank you very much for that very kind introduction. It's a real pleasure to be here, and with any luck, get the middle one over. Ah, there we go. I'm going to have a short introduction to where we are with quantum, and then look particularly at the infrastructure review, which you now have a copy of, in terms of, well, what the infrastructure do to help the next phase of the development of quantum technologies and the movement from, as Gavin said, sort of research to reality. So where are we now with quantum? And I probably find most of you in this room actually are very well aware where we are. We've had 10 years of the National Quantum Technology Programme, two phases of the current hubs, covering everything from quantum computing, quantum sensing, quantum communications, and so on. And the thing that I think I'm most proud of for the hubs is the way they've managed to get technologies out of the lab towards the hands of users. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, would I have expected to see cold atoms on ships and trains and on vehicles, I would have said, no, no way. But that's the sort of level of demonstration we're now getting. We're getting these technologies out of the lab, and that's an amazingly good result. The hubs have proven to be quite a good model, I think, for getting industry engagement. And actually, industry engagement with support and funding from organisations within UKRI, like Innovate UK and so on, but nevertheless, a large number of industry engagement. And we're seeing a number also of very good training opportunities for people in applied research. So not just doing PhDs in sort of fundamental physics, but actually looking at PhDs based on the application of quantum technologies. And those people are going out into the workplace, and some of the hubs are keeping tabs on where they're going. And a large number of them are either going into academic appointments in engineering departments or into industry itself. So we're seeing that beginnings of the higher level appointments of skills that the quantum ecosystem will need if it's to be successful going forward. The other thing I think the hubs have done has strengthened the alignment within the academic community, bringing together universities with different skill sets, different abilities, different regions, has actually proven with alignment of funding to be a very successful model. So what we're going to do now is throw it all up in the air, and see how the pieces come down into the new hubs that will be starting soon after the end of November. It's good to see that all those new hubs also have a strong level of industry engagement and industry commitment to supporting the training of PhD students and the like. So that I think, is a good story for where we are with respect to the hubs. We've also had a commitment from government through its quantum technology strategy and the missions that they've launched. But of course, we have to remember that was the last government, and we need to see how much of that gets picked up by the new government. And I doubt, as you say, I doubt whether Sakir will actually be talking about quantum hubs this afternoon. The other point I wanted to make really was we are not alone. I think there was a lot of scepticism to some extent about whether quantum technologies were going to get there. I think that scepticism is reducing in a number of areas. So everybody wants to pile in. And there's a lot of money going into quantum around the world. And we need to make sure that we continue to accelerate the benefits that we can see from the investment we've made over the past 10 years. So I wanted to say a little bit about what I see as the challenge of translational research from the academic community into industry. Now, I'm sure everybody here is quite familiar with the idea of technology readiness levels, because they've been around for a long time. This should actually be a 3D diagram, because I think there's an application and systems maturity, which I'm showing up the top, but there's also manufacturability, which I would see sort of kind of coming out of the screen. And it's a very important sort of thing to think of as a team game, where we've got the universities, very good at discovery research and lab-based technical demonstrations. We've got industry who want products. They want manufacturable things that they can make money from. And there's often a gap in the middle. Now, the hubs, I think, have been quite good at doing this proof of concept demonstration and starting to look at the sort of technology development that's necessary on its trajectory towards products and services. But there's always a gap, and you need to be kind of be going around this loop of analysis that says, is this technology ready yet? Is it good enough for this application? Can I make it? Can I make it cost effectively at high yield into a product that anybody might want to buy? And a lot of this is about reducing risk, whether it's a technology risk or it's the manufacturability risks. And this bit in the middle is where it can all go horribly wrong, and often does. And I've got lots of examples in my background of where things have gone horribly wrong. Because you can't throw this ball over the fence and assume that from university to industry, somebody will pick it up. You have to work together in this gap. You have to look at working as a team. Now, sometimes that gap's a bit too big for a university department to talk to a big company. And I think, I was visiting Fraunhofer today. Organisations in what I would consider to be the third tier, people who are interesting, they're like Janus, they can look both ways. They can look into industry and understand the language of industry, they can look into academia and understand that language, and they can problem solve and they can help close that gap. So let's talk a little bit about the gap for quantum. I think we have to keep continuing the opportunities for this joint working. There has been progress made, but I do think there is a role for third-tier organisations to help facilitate that. We must speed up the iteration around this loop that takes it from an exciting-looking technology to something that somebody might want to buy. And you have to do that number of times, I think, to reduce the risk. So how can we speed that up? Making sure that we understand the difference between performance and effectiveness, and we understand risk and cost. Prototyping is a particularly important part for a lot of quantum technologies. And I say quantum technologies because, as we found when talking to people, QT is something people think it's a technology. It's not. Quantum technology is really about how we harness the effect, quantum effects, using a range of technologies. And we need to do prototyping. But that prototyping needs to be done in a way that industry can see that they might be able to pick it up at the end and continue to develop it, with capabilities that they think that they could buy off the shelf, perhaps. Real-world experiments and trials are going to continue to be a very important part. It's about how we build confidence that we can not just get things out of the lab, but keep them running out of the lab reliably. And testing and evaluation, I think, will become an important part of that in this next phase. The second second point I was wanting to talk about was really about coordination. The quantum landscape, I think, is getting more complicated. There's just more moving parts. Actually, reorganizing the hubs will change that landscape. There's more people entering it. There's more institutions in that space. So if you're a little SME, and maybe Simon will talk about this, how on earth do you find your way through that landscape? So is there more we need to do to signpost to people where the expertise lies? Who do they go to if they've got a problem? How do they actually start to move that technology on? And another part of that is how you facilitate access. Is there more we need to do to facilitate access to prototyping, facilitate access to skills? So for me, that improvement in coordination is also something we picked up in the infrastructure report. I've just put up this picture. It's in the report. As I said, the quantum landscape is really quite complicated. You might have all the great science and technology at the center of this diagram, but as you go out, you sort of pick up challenges. You pick up things that you want to sort out. And the yellow layer is where the infrastructure report has focused. Where are the areas which, if you like, are gaps in our ability to move from great science into real applications and real world? And those are the areas that we've said we thought might be worthy of consideration for additional investment. And I'll just go through these. As I said, we've got more detail in the report. But how do you start to move down that journey of being able to design the sorts of components and subsystems that are necessary to bring together and integrate to develop a quantum-based system? It needs to be made more cost-effective for people to get on that journey. Design tools can be an important first step. It becomes an even more important first step if those design tools are in some way integrated with the development of the prototyping fabrication capabilities that we need. So it becomes more seamless. We've talked about in the report the need for open access facilities to be truly open access. Costs of accessing some of these fabrication facilities can be something that puts off small companies. So is there more we should be doing to make those truly open access? And do we need to do still more to reduce the gap between the sorts of things that are very good for one-off or a few-off within a university environment to bring confidence that actually you could make these things in manufacturable real-world facilities out in industry? So is there a gap there that needs to be filled? which takes us onto this whole area of advanced manufacturing. We've got quite a good set of capabilities for advanced manufacturing in the UK, but a lot of them have been built up around other application areas like telecommunications. The requirements of quantum are different, and people need to understand if those technology challenges for quantum mean that the current level of capability we have in manufacturing just isn't going to cut it. And so there needs to be an honest discussion about whether or not our current capabilities in manufacturing can be evolved into something that is of value for quantum. And we need to think about how we support industry in doing that. One of the other topics that came up, and actually we had a bit of a pushback on, was the whole issue of packaging and heterogeneous integration. A lot of people's view was packaging is just something industry does. And actually for quantum, when you're going to have to pull together lots of different technologies, reduce the level of losses, reduce noise, then heterogeneous integration may be the only way you're going to get to the size, weight, and power capabilities that industry is going to find attractive. Now, there's going to be a lot of things that you could do. You could invest in compound semiconductors. You could invest in silicon photonics. You could invest in heterogeneous integration and so on. These are not easy choices, and we didn't try in the report to place our bets, but it's worthy of additional discussion about where are those opportunities that would be synergistic with UK skills, where there might be opportunities for the UK to actually take a leading position, or certainly, if not world leading, then world competitive. So I will now just leave it really with a view on the review itself. It's always a challenge to bring together a group of people from very different backgrounds and get them to think about something that is of common interest. And the team at the Academy did a lot of consultation with small companies, large companies, academia, and so on. And we've done the best we can of pulling together this story. But what we need, I think, from this audience and from other audiences is continuing engagement to really understand what would be the best option for the UK right now. We say in the report, the very least we can do is to make sure our capabilities in design, in fabrication, in integration, keep up with the pack. But there may be an opportunity to pick one of those and really turn it into a world-leading capability for the UK. So we'd be interested in your views, and we want to have a continuing discussion and dialogue with the community on the role that infrastructure could make in making sure that quantum technologies really deliver their promise. Thank you very much.